Some time ago, I had an occasion to counsel with a family who had lost a loved one after a surgery that had gone very well. The gentleman was a medical doctor who had the surgery. And the struggle for the family, and I'm using them because it's a common struggle for all of us, and I see it all the time. But the struggle with the family is, who did something, what did we do wrong? Should we not have had the surgery? Did he receive the wrong kind of medication? All the doctors were telling us that everything was fine. Should we have postponed? Did God mean for him to die? What did we leave out? And the questions were on and on and on and on. And the fact that the gentleman was a medical doctor made it worse, because he and others of us are the kind of people that want to control things, and we have this underneath, this background belief that if we just control it and get it just perfectly, that we're always going to get the result that we desire. Basically, that's the end product of science. Science, and science is good, I'm not speaking against it, but it is the attempt to be in control, and to be in control to the point that nothing goes wrong and we make sure that we get the desired outcome. It was interesting. Well, it wasn't interesting. It was painful to be with that family. And the reason it was painful is because I'm constantly having to be in the presence of people that are experiencing situations in which life has gotten out of control, especially deaths, when a person is in danger of death, especially when children die, when a tragedy happens, a divorce or a loss of a job or something like that. And the question always comes back to the same thing. How come this happened? And if you dig underneath, the illusion is, and notice I called it the illusion, is that if we control all the variables, then we will never be shocked because we will be in control of the outcome. That kind of thinking is always an interesting issue for me as a priest. Now, I'll tell you why. All during the time that we were singing the responsorial psalm, did you hear what we were singing? Just the refrain. Lord, come and save us. Lord, come and save us. Lord, come and save us. I didn't sing it as well as you did. But. And I was thinking, do we really want him to come and save us? Or do we really just go to the doctor? Now, think this through. I'm not saying not go to the doctor. But whenever anything of suffering happens, any danger, we don't normally turn to God first. We call and make an appointment with a doctor. And that's okay. It's okay. And most of us put our primary hope in the fact that the doctor will be able to do something about this. Now, of course, in the ancient world, medicine was not very developed at all. And so they were closer to the shocks of life. They were closer to that. And they would reach the point at which there was no earthly hope. They would reach that more quickly than we do. It's very curious, but for us, our experience of life is that technology acts as a buffer between us and the human condition. Now, if you've never heard of that term, the human condition, it is a term that means all of the things that can happen to human beings that are not pleasant, right? Sickness, death, loss of a job, divorce, depression, all kinds of stuff. And that we are not able to get ourselves out of. And when we use technology and science basically acts as a shock absorber. You know? It makes the ride a little softer. Now, the destination is the same. Okay? As a good friend of mine says, that when he studies the statistics, the death rate is holding at 100% for all of humanity. Now, what we do is we try to make the ride a little softer. And so with technology, we add shock absorbers to the whole thing. And so as we make our way through, it was basically what I was reminded of. And this is a rather garish comparison. In the World War II, imagine a group of Jews being taken to extermination camps. And what everybody is worried about when people stop is trying to make the ride a little softer on the train and not so jarring. And focusing in on the ride and doing as much as possible to make the ride pleasant. But the focus on making the ride pleasant almost pushes out the awareness of the destination, which is death. And so for us, I think that affects the way that we understand salvation. It's interesting to me that throughout, you know, I've been a priest 40 years, almost 40, June 3rd will be 40. And A lot of times I get this question, Father, save us from what? Save us from what? Why does everybody need to be saved? And it dawns on me that this person is just really along for a smooth ride to death. That's what they're, they've even forgotten where they're headed. And there's no guarantee that the ride's going to be smooth, but hey, we all shoot the craps, right? We shoot the dice and hope that it'll be as pleasant as possible. But a person who speaks like that has forgotten where we're all going. And they don't even know they need to be saved. You know, I've gotten to the point that I actually don't even like to use the term saved. I use the word, maybe sometimes I'll use the word rescued. Anyway, the second part of this that was really interesting, I have a friend of mine who's a medical doctor. And we went out to dinner the other night. And I was talking to him about this situation, about the tragedy. And I told him the story and what I was dealing with. And as soon as I finished the story, he said to me, and he was a medical doctor, the guy who died, and he was a medical doctor? And I said, yeah. And then he did something he was unconscious of, but it told me a bunch. You know what he did? He did this. Knock on wood. Now, please understand, this is a good friend of mine and a genius of a medical doctor. Okay? And what disturbed him the most, I think, was that the identity of the person whom life had gotten out of control was like him. And when it came down to it, the only answer that he had was superstition. Interesting, isn't it? Now, why am I talking about this? I'm talking about this because it's my job. It's my job. I think I've said it to several people lately. Every time Christmas comes around, I dread it. And you know why I dread it? Because the wall of superficiality grows exponentially thicker. And what I mean by the wall of superficiality is the fact that you know, we're so accustomed to the glitter and all of the having fun on the train, and the shock absorbers are even receded and softer, that the original joy for the fact that someone's coming to save us is harder to help people to understand why that is important. And so I am aware that when I speak to you, that I'm supposed to be Christmassy. That's what I'm supposed to be. It's Christmassy. People have gotten on my case because they say, "Oh, Father, but it's Christmas." And I'm going, "Yeah? But it's Christmas." Now, what are they saying by "it's Christmas"? You're supposed to be jolly. You're supposed to be, you know, it's like going to the mall. Jingle bells, you know. I'm supposed to be that, all that. And at the same time, see, what I do is I ask questions. And the question is, so why are we supposed to be jolly? I mean, think it through. Why? Just because the mall puts up a tree? Just because we're all singing songs that we love and we do love them and it's enjoyable and we laugh? Last night, I went to the Straight Jesuit and St. Agnes concert. It was gorgeous. It was super Christmassy. I just wondered how many of us in that audience or those kids actually knew why we were happy. And that's what Advent's all about. Advent is about making sure that, and I may have said this to somebody, I don't remember when I say stuff to whom I say stuff, but the job is to make sure that for Advent is that we don't celebrate Christmas superficially. At least that's my job. It's my job to make sure that you don't have a happy, jolly Christmas. Okay? I hope you do. But if you do, I have failed if you didn't do it for the right reason. So the question is, so what is the right reason? The right reason... Did you notice John, he said, and here's this guy's in prison. He's awaiting the death sentence. He knows he's going to die. Doesn't quite know how it's going to happen. Ultimately, he gets his head cut off as a result of Herod's wife's daughter's beauty and dance. She asks for his head. And he knows he's going to die. And this guy has literally bet his life on something. And he wants to know, did I bet right that you are the one who is going to come? To come to do what? To save us. Save us from what? And then Jesus doesn't give an answer. And Jesus says, you go and tell John what you see. And then as Jesus is rattling off the deaf hear, the mute speak, the lame walk, and it goes on and on, part of me was thinking he must have gone to the doctor, because doctors can do all that. And it struck me why that doesn't grab us more. And you know why it doesn't grab us more? We have shock absorbers. And the ride is smoother. But the reality is still the same. So, first of all, there's no guarantee that the shock absorbers are going to work in your life. Second, there's no guarantee when your train is going to arrive at your station and you're going to be told to get off the train and you will die or you will suffer greatly. Third, when it does happen and you understand that there's no other, you know, you can't blame anything because that's the way it just happens, because there's no foolproof of getting out of the human condition, and you may be super angry, and you may even be super angry at God after you get over all of that, you may come to realize that you actually needed to be rescued, that you ultimately were not in control. And then it may dawn on you, the responsorial psalm may dawn on you. And a responsorial, you will hear, Lord, come and save me. Lord, come and save me. Lord, come and save me. And it'll make sense. But until then, enjoy the shock absorbers. Enjoy the ride. enjoy Christmas. And I'm not kidding. Enjoy Christmas. I just hope that periodically in life, something slaps the, well, we're in church, so something slaps the something out of you. Okay, I was going to use a word, but it's not a good word. But that's why we're here. We're here because no matter how smooth the ride, whether you know it or not yet, you really do need, and I really do need, to be rescued. And that's what we're celebrating, our rescue. Think about it.